look at a man in Baptist history this morning. Like many of the folks we look at in history, most do not know this name, Thomas Hume Sr. He's little known in our Baptist circles today. But and it would be impossible to do him justice, his life. I just want to do a quick sketch of his life and synopsis. And Thomas Hume was born on March 16th, 1812, into the home of a Presbyterian pastor. While he was a very young man, his father died actually in the pulpit while preaching. And Thomas, after he matured, he received a fairly good education. And he had a very keen mind, very good at business. And when he was 18, he made a profession of faith. But it was interesting that he delayed his public confession because he wanted to study what the Scripture said about church membership and what were the scriptural demands of church membership. And after studying the Bible, he decided that the scriptural method of baptism was what he should follow. And so he became a Baptist, from a Presbyterian home to became a Baptist after reading his Bible, and joined the little Baptist church there in his hometown. Baptists were very weak in Virginia, so this was very rare for someone to join the Baptist church, as they were very new in the area and very weak in that area. He felt that God was calling him to preach, and so he entered the brand new Virginia Baptist Seminary in Richmond. While he was a student, he pastored two Sundays a month. He supplied pulpits in two different churches in Chesterfield County, Virginia. And then, to his complete surprise, upon graduation, a little church in Portsmouth, Virginia, called him to be pastor. And he did not feel that he was academically qualified to do that, that he had not spent enough time studying, and so he declined the call, but the church would not take no for an answer. And a man by the name of James Schoolfield, who was a successful physician, had moved from Baltimore to Portsmouth, and he wrote the young student and told him, explained to him how the church called him and why the church wanted him to come. And he also had a very large theological library, and I think that the historians say that may have been the reason that he eventually felt that, you know, he could maintain his studying and that in this man's library, because that man asked him to live with them in his home. And so he took the pastorate there of that church in Portsmouth. On the day of his 21st birthday, March 16th, 1833, he was welcomed as a new pastor. And the church had been established about 40 years earlier, but had gone through some real bad times. It had grown and then fallen back, and he was taking a church with a lot of problems. But God began to bless, and he had his son wrote his biography. He said he had a real passion for souls, of course, and for people, and a passion for hard work. And he dove into that work. The environment was not favorable. The Episcopal Church was very strong, and it drew the people of society, the people that had money. And Methodism had been introduced about 50 years earlier, and those churches were very aggressive and advancing. The Baptists, not so much. And so he entered that church, took that problem church, but God blessed as he followed God's word. The Methodist pastor in town, Dr. Waller, really ridiculed his young age. He was 21. Yes, he was 21. And the Methodist pastor was real controversial, and he went to the papers and he wrote articles about this young pastor and made fun of him. And one of the things he said was, and pulling from Scripture, he said, "This young preacher might well to tarry at Jericho till his beard be grown," referring to a passage in Samuel. But the young pastor won the day and just dove into that work, as I said, and ignored the criticism of his youth. Soon, somebody printed in the paper this little rhyme that was sung by children as they played in the streets. While Waller at home was studying his Greek, Hume took his converts down into the creek. And what he's referring to, as Hume's church began to grow tremendously, and within a short time, and this is very large for that day, the church grew to 650 members, and again, very large in that growing city of Portsmouth. In that day, the church records and his son say that he personally baptized over 800 during his ministry there. And then in 1835, the young pastor married a lady, Marianne Gregory, for 25 years. She was his faithful wife, served faithfully at her husband's side. 8 children were born to that marriage. And God blessed that marriage with several pastors from his children. His son says, and just reading about him, that his son says he dealt with the fundamental elements of biblical truth. He addressed himself to Christian experience. He was a strong, practical preacher, and God used this hard work ethic and his keen mind. And he endured many trials. This man, again, I can't take the time to tell you much about his life, but yellow fever swept through Portsmouth in 1855. It devastated his church. His wife died early. He lost 3 sons in the Civil War as they fought with the Confederacy there. And then his only daughter died in 1866. But he said this, and I thought this was interesting, he said that through it all, he found that the most important thing to him was the blessedness of prayer and the presence of the Lord being very real to him through these times. And so, you know, just a dear man of God. And God took his servant home on March 16th, 1875, on his 63rd birthday. And as I read this, none of the biographers mentioned this, but March 16th was very important in this man's life. He was born on March 16th. He became, it took that church on his birthday, March 16th, and the Lord called him home on March 16th, and 63 years old. And I thought it was very interesting that the coincidence of March 16th in his life. But, you know, it made me think of, you know, we have a college. We have very young people that graduate, young men and women that graduate, and sometimes are called into very difficult situations. You know, most probably are assistants as they start out, but some are not. Some go to the mission field. And so, you know, we should pray. You know, Paul mentions that to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, that if a man is prepared and called of God, he should never apologize for his youth. But it reminds me to pray for our college students, and as they go, frequently very young and inexperienced, but if God's hand is on them, let's pray for them and their ministries. So we thank the Lord this morning for Pastor Thomas Hume and his life there in Portsmouth, Virginia.